Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
I don't know what got me on this topic this week, but for some reason, I thought, you know, I'm going to look into this. And I think back to when I first moved up here. Well, I lived here originally in Upper Michigan, and I grew up in Norway. And I moved away for a couple of years, and I lived down in Jackson and Vicksburg, Mississippi. And then, as fate would have it, I moved back to Upper Michigan to take a radio job here. I got divorced. My son was living back in Upper Michigan. He was quite young, and I wanted to be up closer to him and family. And so I took a job in Escanaba, Michigan, at a radio station that I'm still at to this present day, which is kind of unusual to begin with in radio. Normally there's a lot of turnover. But in a smaller area, usually it's more secure, and this is a really good company. I've been fortunate. They even let me do my show on the side, so I hats off to them, the Radio Results Network, and the radio station I work for. And so now, it was shortly after I started working here, probably within a year or two, there was a woman who was our receptionist. Very nice lady. I thought I liked her a lot. She was a decent person, I thought. Pretty down to earth. But there was a part of her that was kind of sad. And I didn't really know that about her until I would maybe talk to her socially away from work. Once in a while, I'd run into her. And she had this great sadness because her husband... Others had told me the story. And I don't usually pry into people's life too much until I really, really get to know them. And people may talk more personal things at work, but I don't always find out about that unless I feel really comfortable or if somebody wants to share things. There's a lot of things I don't know that go on, you know, and I just don't want to pry, I guess. I really, you know, I'm a compassionate person, so if people tell me things, I do care about them. But back in 1986 or 1987, somewhere around there, she was telling me her story. I'd heard it from others that her husband had vanished while he was a pilot, and he had left Lower Michigan, and he was crossing Lake Michigan, and they never found his plane. And at the time, you know, back then I was open to a lot of things, but I just hadn't heard the stories like I've heard over the years. You know, and thank goodness I've heard these stories because they've got me to open my mind and start to look in another direction. And you just hear so many of them, you know, especially if you ask. And so her story was, you know, I kind of stuck it in the back of my mind. I wish I would have asked her more questions because she was sharing it one night with me at a bar with some coworkers and some friends, and her and I just got to talking, and she told me about it, how much of a wreck her life was. But there was this part of her that always held out this hope, which I found interesting, that her husband was still alive. And I thought, how can that be? How can that be that you would think maybe he's somewhere, like something, almost felt like something paranormal or something unusual, some kind of circumstance that was not normal. And I wish I would have talked to her more, but you know, that was an opportunity that I let go by. After that, I started to learn, within a couple of years after that, to start to ask people in detail if they were willing to share. Certainly I never wanted to compromise and make people uncomfortable. Well, there were a couple of things that happened in the 70s that brought attention to what's called the Great Lakes Triangle, or some people call it the Lake Michigan Triangle, but I think there's a lot of strange things. What causes some of this strange phenomena? Is it strange phenomena? Is it normal phenomena? Maybe not phenomena at all, just natural weather. Now, in one of my earlier episodes, I had a really, really good interview with Bruce Gernon. He is one of the, he's the only person that I know that has gone through an electronic fog and survived it and talked about it. Nobody else has talked about it. And Bruce has been on several shows, and he's pretty well known because of it. And this fog seemed to follow him, and he seemed to, and you can go back and listen to it in one of my older shows, The Electronic Fog with Bruce Gernon. He was able to get out of it at the last instance, and he feels he was lucky. And then he actually traveled at an extreme rate of speed. But there's something weird going on. Is this a natural thing? He thinks it could be. We both kind of had our own theories on what it could be. Could it be connected to UFOs? And it seems like in our area, the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan, and I live in an area that's right on Lake Michigan, and also an area that's close to, not far away from Lake Superior. And I've had people tell me many times what they've seen over the Great Lakes as far as craft that can't be explained. Craft coming in and out of the water on both the lakes. And so this is kind of something that's known, pretty well known, especially to the native people around here. But anybody that's lived around here long enough has probably seen some things. And UFOs are spotted all the time in Upper Michigan. And so this is kind of a hotbed. So what's going on? Is there something like a in the water, like a base or something that could cause this electronic fog? And is Bermuda the only place where it's been reported? Well, there's a story out of 1978. A woman by the name of Kathy Doerr, who was, and I'm reading her story, and I tried to find out more information about her, but I can't find a website. But she was, there was a group of boats, yachting races, I believe, sailing from Chicago on Lake Michigan. I don't know how far they were going. It doesn't say in the story, I believe. But they were out in the lake, and it was very calm. And they came across this fog, this strange fog, where part of the fog, it's like the, it was extremely cold. And then, yet on the same boat where people were standing, it was very warm. And the lake was very calm. But they didn't seem to have control over their ship. And also, as she recalls the story, the captain was not at the wheel. Yet she swore he was there. I mean, a lot of strange things with this story, this incident. And reading right from the story, the captain raised his arms high over his head, gleefully wiggling his hands and fingers to the air, and stated that he hadn't been steering for the past 10 minutes. Not 1 minute before, according to Kathy Doerr, she says, "I was certain he had been standing next to me on the helm." This fog got so thick that she, what she thought all these people around her, they were at a different part of the boat. And there were two other boats next to them, and it's like they disappeared, and then they reappeared. And they all went through this weird, something like controlled their boat where it went in a circle. And so her story I found very interesting. And eventually she lost touch with this, with these people, and some of them passed away. But her story is interesting. You can look it up, Kathy Doerr. And I think she's gone on some other events, but this was in 1978 when this incident happened. And the thing that caught my attention is that there was a strange fog, and things were going on really weird while she was in this strange fog. You know, there's many mysteries over the years, and I don't know how much of it's true, but one of the earliest mysteries is a boat called the Griffin, which disappeared back in, I think it was the 1600s, from Green Bay, and had gone to Washington Island, and after that, it was never seen again. Yet there were reports that people have seen the Griffin. And again, you can't really go by this, but they've seen the Griffin over years and years. This thing would show up, and then when you get right next to it, it's gone. Yeah, that's one of the reports, but you don't know how accurate that is. Here's a story when I'm going to give you some audio from a news station out of Cleveland, Ohio, about a UFO, more than one UFO sighting over Lake Erie. And, of course, this news station is going to put their own spin on it and kind of roll their eyes. But here's a report just a few years ago, some UFO sightings over Lake Erie.
It's not the first time someone has recorded something mysterious over Lake Erie, but it could be the first time it's this clear.
It was just probably one of the craziest nights of activity I've ever experienced.
Michael Lee Hill is the self-described UFO enthusiast who's releasing this never-before-seen video. According to Hill, the video was shot in November on the east side near his home in Eastlake. It obviously shows something, but what is what's up for debate?
I've been filming these for a long time, and it's just grown to the point where they've let me know. They know I'm sitting there filming them. You know, they'll come in every year. They've come in closer and closer.
I go outside and I look up in the sky and I see them up there every so often. You see strange lights blinking on and off.
It's not hard to find people who believe the lakeshore is a hotbed for extraterrestrial activity. Last year, in fact, Fox 8 revealed these images of similar lights over the lake. And after our stories aired, a team from the Cleveland Ufology Project tracked the lights. The organization was founded back in 1952, and its members consider themselves experts who determined these were airplanes. But now, Michael says you can't debate it anymore.
The fact that this remains in the screen and is not moving, I believe, negates any notion that it's an aircraft.
Now, it goes without saying, but of course, we'll say it anyway. NASA, the military, no one will comment on any of this. But we do know planes are always landing and taking off at Hopkins and, of course, on the other side of the lake in Canada. Michael Lee Hill says none of that matters. We'll know more soon enough when they decide to reveal themselves. Mark Zinni, Fox 8 News.
To me, that's just something that happens all the time. And our media doesn't tend to make fun of it like they do in maybe a little bigger city because we're more of a sparse population. So we report these things. The national media completely ignores them. And now they won't even touch those kind of, rarely will they touch those kind of things. And yet so many people have seen these things. And some of it can be explained, but a lot of it cannot be explained. As you may have heard that one man in that audio talking about how he's seen these things, and it's almost like they know he's there. All right, so now, getting back to what I was talking about earlier, there's a fellow by the name of Jay Gurley, and he appeared on the TV show In Search Of. He wrote a book called The Great Lakes Triangle in 1977. Now, here he is talking about some of the incidents that took place, just in general, on the Great Lakes that are very mysterious.
The agonic line, or the line of zero magnetic variation, is the line along which magnetic north and true north are precisely the same direction. Now, how this would be related to a transportation accident or how it could cause such a tragedy has never been explained. But the fact remains that a number of such disasters have occurred on or near this line. For example, the disappearance of Northwest Airlines Flight 2501. The disappearance of November 212 Alpha Delta. The implausible last actions of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The peculiar thing about that accident is that for 3 hours at least, the Edmund Fitzgerald was slowly filling up with water. We know that now, even though no one on board the Fitzgerald knew it at the time. What's really strange about this accident is that no one did know that. No one put on life jackets. No one called for distress. In fact, up until about 1 minute before the Fitzgerald finally went under the water, The first mate of the Fitzgerald was saying that the ship was all right. They were having no problem.
That's Jay Gurley. I couldn't find a whole lot on him. That was back in the 70s, so I don't know if he's still around or not. But he did write a book called The Great Lakes Triangle. And also from that, a little bit of audio taken from that In Search Of program, he talks about this mysterious flight, Flight 389. It left New York to Cleveland. It was had a visual of New York to Chicago, I'm sorry. It had a visual of, O'Hare as it was getting ready to land. And yet it just proceeded to go right into the water. And the pilot was talking to the tower almost right up to the crash. It's just really bizarre, and there's no explanation. And once again, this is Jay Gurley.
There was no attempt to arrest the descent. It was a clear day just like this. In fact, up until 1 second before the United Airlines Flight 389 hit the water, killing all 30 aboard, the pilot was talking to air traffic control about his altimeter setting. He was looking at his altimeter, he was setting it, he was paying attention to his altimeter. The co-pilot was flying the airplane. He could see the water below him, he could see the city of Chicago in the distance there, about 15 miles away. In light of these facts, the National Transportation Safety Board concluded that no possible explanation can be offered for the action of this crew.
So if you want to get his book, I'm guessing it's still out there, but his book is called, it's Jay Gourley, G-O-U-R-L-E-Y, and it's Great Lakes Triangle. And there really aren't a lot of people talking about incidents on the Great Lakes that I've come across as far as this. You know, there's been a lot of shipwrecks. Some people even feel, and there's a part of me that's so connected to this, and I think everybody that lives up here, the Edmund Fitzgerald, some people think something mysterious happened there. Or it just could have been the sea conditions. There was a boat that was 9 miles behind the Edmund Fitzgerald, saw its lights, and then the next thing they know, it's gone. And as quickly as the Edmund went down, they didn't even grab their life vests. So it was rather quickly, whatever caused them to sink. Some think it could be a paranormal or some kind of strange incident that is involved around the Great Lakes, bodies of water that we don't understand. Some believe it could be a base underneath the lakes, an alien base. I don't know. And I don't know if that incident so much is highly unusual, but I do believe that there is some kind of UFO activity going on over the Great Lakes or maybe even under the Great Lakes. And part of what I point at is if you go back and you listen in my program, I interviewed a man by the name of Gord Heath, one of my earlier programs, three-part series. And he's one of the few people that talks about the Kinross incident. And if you don't know what that is, that's an incident that took place back in 1952 or 1953, where they scrambled a jet out of Kinross Air Force Base because there was some kind of UFO over Lake Superior. And when the jet got caught up to this, whatever this was, and it could have been something else, they just didn't know what it was. But it's almost like the two craft merged on radar and they never found anything from this scrambled jet, the pilot, and the navigator. So there is more on that if you want to listen to that show, the Kinross incident. I mean, and Major Kehoe, who was a UFO investigator, is one of the people that was all over this and eventually dug up a lot of information. Some things that didn't add up. And Gord Heath knows all these things about the pilot, which I found really interesting. That in itself is another story. But we do have, living up here in God's country, a lot of it people call that, you know, lots of trees and lakes and inland lakes and rivers. And it's probably more pure, even though there's still some pollution, it's more pure in this area than it is in a lot of areas. And it's more remote. But there are a lot of strange things, it seems, that happens. And I'm glad that I live around these things as far as unknown or UFO related. And to me, it's an accepted thing because so many people I know, myself included, have had these kind of experiences. So is there something to this Great Lakes Triangle? I don't know. Maybe there's certain areas where things happen more than others. But when you're on a big body of water, a lot of strange things can happen. And the Great Lakes are, well, they can turn in a hurry. So I guess you can draw your own conclusions. And next week, I hope to have another show that's going to deal with an incident, an event. A friend of mine told me that he lives in a building that's not far from here, probably within 7 blocks. It's an old building. And I'm going to go do some investigating with my friend Dan Dunlap. Dan has the ability to sense and see things. And there's been reports of some very aggravated spirits or some mischievous spirits that might be messing around with some of the occupants. So we're going to do that. We're going to go there and maybe chase some of these. If some of them are negative, chase them away. And that's what we're going to feature. Kind of like a ghost hunt, I guess. I really don't want to call it that, but kind of like we're going to go on a ghost hunt. And that'll be my show next week. You have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.